We live in a world of many languages. Ethnologue claims to be the most authoritative source on world languages. Yes, Ethnologue is the catalog of world languages, and their catalog currently lists 7,097 living languages in the world. Yet experts tell us that our nonverbal bodily language conveys 93% of our message. In addition, there are books with titles such as The Five Love Languages or The Language of the Heart. Even our computer programs are written in different languages. If only we had the technology to help us relate to each other in our own language. Waverly Labs has developed what they call the Pilot Earbuds. These wireless earpieces can translate languages in real time, enabling a conversation between two people who speak different languages. What technology could we use at home that would translate conversations between husband and wife, or between children and parents? Is there a device that helps us communicate at the office? Is there anything that will help us avoid misunderstanding and wounded feelings because of an ill-spoken word or two? Even with this wide variety of language tools, we struggle to really connect with each other. Our souls are hungry for a spirit that can unite us to work together for the common good. Instinctively, we know that we are better together. So what does the spirit of that first Christian Pentecost have to teach us about reaching across communication barriers to become one body of Christ? When the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak to the throngs gathered in Jerusalem from all over the world. The listeners didn't expect to understand a word the apostles were saying, but they were amazed to hear their own language spoken fluently. Well, since they didn't have the Pilot earbuds, what did they have in their ears? It would be more accurate to ask what they had in their hearts and infused throughout their souls. They had the Holy Spirit. That's what they had. This gathering of men and women were a tight-knit group who traveled and shared their faith and hope in Jesus. In both the literal and the symbolic sense of the idea, they spoke the same language. They were on, as we say, the same page. Acts of the Apostles says nothing about them being church, even though this passage describes what we like to call the birthday of the church. The church is one place where you think a translator would not be needed. This Holy Spirit, given at Pentecost, is the one who intercedes on our behalf with utterances unknown to us. So what is this church? Well, we know the church is people, right? Instead of the word church, we have in the Greek parlance of the day an ekklesia. It means only an assembly of people. The word did not refer to an institution. It did not denote an organization. It was not descriptive of a building where religious ceremonies were dedicated. A church was simply a gathering of people. The church is people who were gathered together. This, then, was the first meeting of the ecclesia, the church. The church is ordinary people. And even more remarkable is that they were unremarkable. The founding members were not the best and the brightest. They were not the kind of high-powered tech wizards we find in Silicon Valley, on faculties of universities, or at roundtable discussions in corporation boardrooms. This is certainly not to say that these people were ignorant, unintelligent, or gullible, or that such qualities are in any way prerequisites for being spiritually powerful. They hadn't been trained to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't get training in the Holy Spirit. And there's no app or tutorial for the Holy Spirit. They had not gone to the university or seminary. They were not remarkable people until the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the only common factor is the Holy Spirit. The church is ordinary people doing extraordinary things, united in a common cause. And the key word is united. And unity occurs when we give God's Spirit half a chance. Our multilinguistic world is too often deeply divided by politics, religion, race, and gender. Stark differences on any number of social, moral, and economic issues pit brother against sister and neighbor against neighbor. But when God moves into broken and conflicted relationships, good things begin to happen. The miracle of Pentecost is one of listening. To our amazement, barriers of language and perception break down, and we dare to hear each other, maybe for the first time. And in our hearing and listening, we come to believe there is far more to be gained together than remaining in our isolated ideological camps. In a moment of divine wonder, God's Spirit rushed upon that mixed multitude, bringing sacred unity out of scattered diversity. And they were not only united in their message, but in their mission as well. So what might God be calling us to today, as diverse and possibly divided as we are? Pentecost Sunday is an opportunity to reassess what we, the people of God, are doing. To ask, how is the Spirit calling me to share my gifts rather than hoard them, to celebrate each other rather than compete for prestige, to build bridges of understanding rather than needing to have the last word? This is when we learn to speak the Spirit's language of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and some self-control. When we exude these gifts and fruits of the Spirit, we discover that God has a better future for us than our past. And those pilot earbuds, they may prove to be an extraordinary translation device. But the Holy Spirit launched on Pentecost was a huge success. And in the church, our translator is the Holy Spirit, the one Jesus said would be our guide, leading us into the truth. So the Holy Spirit is our pilot, not inserted in our ears, but in our hearts and lives.